And now, IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
All right, so a bit of a news emerging as it relates to Eamon Ryan. The Green Party leader has now said he'll not need to make a return flight from the COP28 climate summit in Dubai for a confidence motion in the Dáil this week. Sinn Féin, of course, has tabled the motion of no confidence in Minister for Justice Helen McEntee following the Dublin riots. I understand what they're doing. I actually personally think, just as an observation and as someone who follows politics, that wasn't a great move to begin with. But anyway, Minister Ryan says he won't fly now because he's arranged a pairing with Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats. So now he will not be flying. But you've been commenting on this story that has been rumbling for a couple of days nonetheless. Carbon is the building block of life. Be careful what they're restricting. What percentage of carbon is in the air, asks another. If Eamon was travelling economy like the rest of us, he would not be hopping around the world. Another, good morning, Greg. Poor countries need fossil fuels to get out of poverty and will be using fossil fuels for many decades to come. These people complaining really haven't a clue. Good morning. That Eamon Ryan and indeed the whole government are a disgrace, running there for climate action and pledging millions. Our country's on the brink of recession. And don't get me started on the HSE, but who cares? They certainly don't. We are technically in a recession due to a downturn in pharmaceutical exports. So it's a technical recession. Many people have been living in a recession, though. And I talked about this well over a year ago, that we talk about it being a rich country, but many people listening to this programme have effectively been living in a recession. Pathetic, the hypocrisy shown by government, says another listener. Right, on to the hospital. I cannot see the person responsible for that lady's car coming forward. That's the mentality of people nowadays. They just don't care. It's scandalous. The poor lady, no one needs an expected bill at Christmas time. Another, not enough security staff on as well. Michael, it's a joke. Greg, who told you it was 55 grand a year? Was it the hospital? No, it was figures from that I saw. I'm going off the top of my head. I'll dig them out. It was in terms of what money the hospitals made after everything from hospital car parking charges. Letterkenny University Hospital was notably low. Galway Hospital, for an example, it's well over a million. Sligo, I think it's closer to 100 grand, but in Letterkenny it's 55,000 euro is what the hospital ended up with. If I've worked the figures out correctly. The parking spaces are very tight as well. The hospital should take responsibility for cars that are damaged. It's time the hospital came clean on the issue, where the money's going and who's getting the profits from it. Well, the information is out there. Whether you like it or not, it's not a secret as such. It's publicly available information. Some listeners will recall a young nurse coming off duty a few years back to find two of his car doors missing, removed, stolen. The car park management didn't want to know either. We've had other people with windows smashed as well. There was a spate of it down, particularly around the ED. It's an ongoing issue. Poor girl coming out of work to find that happened. If she's a nurse, she should be getting free parking. Another caller, my friend works for Euro Car Parks. Every penny goes to the hospital. They don't have access to the cameras. They're not allowed to look at them. And half of the cameras up there don't work. But the argument being made is that if you have a private company providing security of the car park, that maybe they should have their own security system as well, rather than saying, you know, it's not our responsibility, it's the hospital's. But Euro Car Parks obviously are profit making. They make money, they manage the car park. There's investment in the car park, so they're not doing it for charity either. So Euro Car Parks are really quite a successful company. The hospital gets a proportion, 55,000 a year, 55,000 in the year for the last figures that I saw. Recar damage. Most parking spaces are too narrow, no room to get the door open. It's not an excuse for the damage, but they're so tight, something needs to be done. I find car parks generally are too tight. Now, I suppose it's a case of squeezing them in, but most people seemingly now drive SUVs or really quite wide electric vehicles, and the car parking spaces simply aren't wide enough. And even in terms of backing out, the cars in the next line of traffic are really quite close to you. Why have the roads between Gortahawk and Letterkenny not been gritted since Friday night? Scandalous. Why am I paying road tax? Greg, tell Michael McLafferty to get Donegal County Council to get out and leave grit at every turn and hill on the back roads for people in schools. It's so slippery this morning around Gortahawk area and Castlenagore area. Where does our tax money be going? Is there a particular problem with black ice around the Gortahawk area? That's a couple of unrelated texters messaging in there. Hi, Greg. A question I'd like you to put to your listeners. Does anyone find putting out ashes with smokeless coal? They get breathless. I feel like a full-blown asthmatic putting out my ashes. No problem when I use turf ashes. A question I want to ask for a long time. They now wear a mask when putting out the ashes. It's not a problem I've had. I put the ashes in the bucket and then leave the bucket out for it to cool and then dispose of them then. But no, I've not found a particular issue personally with breathlessness after putting out the ashes with smokeless coal. But it's out to our listeners. Let us know. That's what we're here for. Interesting convo, perhaps. 086 60 25,000. Do you find that you find yourself breathless when putting out the ashes from smokeless coal? Hi, Greg. Never seen so many silly drivers out this weekend with their bad fog driving on their daytime running lights on and no lights on in the back of the cars. Thanks. Yes, I noticed this myself and I can't understand it. I think, you know, even especially people with more modern cars, I think the daytime running lights, they're not aware that in some of the vehicles, there's nothing at the back. They have the lights at the front, but there's nothing to the rear. And that's where you need them, isn't it? Interesting point. Thank you for that. Caroline, did I leave the competition information out with you there, I wonder? Did I bring it in with me? Okay. It's buried in all the comments here because we have a fantastic competition running in association with our friends at Cadbury. They are running their Secret Santa competition with us here. So what we're inviting you to do is share with us why you want to secretly send chocolate to someone special this year. What makes them deserving of a Cadbury Secret Santa bar? Tell us about a person in your life who deserves this surprise treat, but be sure to keep it a secret. Now, the good thing here is right, for nominating, if you're successful, you win. You want to see this hamper. It's up on our Instagram and our Facebook. This amazing big Cadbury hamper, right? But also, if you win today, the person you nominate gets a lovely Secret Santa bar, which will be delivered to them in secret. So really, you know, this is one of those competitions where you do really well out of it, but someone else does well too. So all we want you to do, and we won't use any names, is WhatsApp or text us on 086 60 25,000 and tell us in your life, who do you think deserves the delivery of our Cadbury Secret Santa bar? And if you're successful, you win this amazing hamper. We've got a hamper on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Friday, a €250 one for all voucher available for you to spend this Christmas. So let me just say this one more time so it's perfectly clear. Today, I'm inviting you to text 086 60 25,000 or WhatsApp that number or give us a call, but preferably text, and tell us who in your life is special. Why are they special and why do they deserve the delivery of a Cadbury Secret Santa bar? And they're lovely wee bars. They're not wee, but they're lovely. You, if you're successful, win a beautiful big hamper. They win the bar, you get the hamper. All right, let us know who in your life deserves to be receiving this Christmas a Cadbury Secret Santa bar. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. Why do they deserve it from you? And we'll pick a winner out before the end of the programme. The road at Welch Town School, there's an accident. There's guards, the fire brigade and an ambulance there at the moment. Back road between Welch Town and Stranorler is treacherous, I'm being told. The Farmers Alliance is calling for the immediate resignation of the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Mr. Charlie McConnell-Logue. We're joined on the programme now by Helen O'Sullivan, a farmer and spokesperson for the Farmers Alliance. Good morning to you, Helen. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having us on this morning.
Why this move? Why now?
Well, as you probably know, with the dairy sector, what's happening there at the moment is quite ridiculous, Greg. You know, they will have to slaughter their cows or try and get more land before the 1st of January. So I suppose for our listeners that are not familiar, there's a new nitrogen derogation that came in lately. So basically what that is, it's after dropping the nitrates levels from 250 kgs of nitrogen per hectare to 220 kgs. So what that means is you can't spread any more than 220 kgs of organic manure now on your land per hectare.
And so are we at the... I beg your pardon. Go ahead, please, Helen.
Sorry, Greg. So what this will mean for farmers is that are in those particular areas, they will have to comply with these new nitrates regulations. They will have to either slaughter their heavily pregnant cows or obtain more land, and this has to be done before the 1st of January. So this will affect about maybe 7,000 farmers, you know, in the country, Greg. So that would be in counties Cork, Tipperary, Westmeath, Roscommon. I don't think there's any county that will escape this cut in the derogation.
Yeah, we aren't as badly affected in Donegal for once, but there are certain areas, of course, that do appear on that map, as you've been outlining there. How I mean, is this a fear about the slaughter of 200,000 heifer and calf cows, or is it a reality?
This is actually a reality, Greg, because, you know, as I've mentioned, the deadline is the 1st of January. These farmers in those catchment areas will have to comply with those regulations. And so, like, this is going to create a huge animal welfare issue. This is actually going to put farmers under an awful lot of pressure, both physically and mentally, bearing in mind that they're already under a lot of pressure because, you know, the price of milk has dropped back hugely in the dairy sector, but their input costs have risen. So they're under enormous pressure. They've invested hugely in their enterprises over the years. And, you know, that would include slurry storage, and they have low-emission slurry spreading gear bought in as well. So, you know, really and truly, Greg, all these farmers, you know, they've been doing what they're asked to do for the last number of years. They've complied with, you know, every regulation that was sent out to them from the department or from, you know, the government, you know, by having to have extra slurry storage, you know, to keep the water quality in good condition. And they've complied with everything. So we feel, you know, that the farmers are being totally fairly, unfairly scapegoated for the whole water quality and climate change. And this has to change. And we feel that Minister McConnell has just sat there, you know, sitting on his hands, doing nothing. It's not an option.
I wish I had the opportunity to speak to him to put his point of view across, but I don't. But I will say that he would argue, I'm sure, that he's worked very hard to try and, if not maintain the derogation as it is, but to maintain it beyond the deadline. And that is the piece of work that's ongoing now. I'm sure you'd argue that he made his submissions to try and see this deferred or avoided, but that the EU Commission are very firm and resolute on this, and that's all he can do. All he can do is lobby and make the argument for Ireland. But at the end of the day, this is an EU decision, and we are, for right or wrong, part of that club. His hands are tied, and changing the minister won't change the situation.
Well, we feel, Greg, here in Farmers Alliance and speaking to lots of other farmers throughout the country, that he did not work hard enough. I mean, he didn't even bother going over to the EU to argue his case here for Ireland. He had a Zoom meeting. Now, I know if it was me, if I was representing the farmers of this country, I would get on the plane and I'd be over there in that room in Brussels fighting my case for the farmers here in this country. I mean, we are the most sustainable producers of milk in Europe, and I would go as far as saying in the world, Greg, because of our grass-based system, because of the way we farm. Like I said, these farmers have invested hundreds of thousands of euros, you know, in their enterprise for the slurry storage.
But is that not why we have a derogation at all? We're one of only three European countries that have it. Is that not? And I'm playing devil's advocate here, by the way, Helen, so bear with me. Mm-hmm. Is that not the argument that, you know, because we do it like you say we do, that's why we have this derogation, and that's why we can hope to maybe keep it at a level, not the level that you might like, but at a level going forward?
Well, you see, this is the problem, Greg. You know, it's been cut now from 250 kgs of nitrogen per hectare down to 220. But what's going to come next? You know, in a year's time, is it going to be down to 170? Are we going to be right back here again, arguing, fighting? I mean, these farmers are under a savage amount of pressure. How are they going to pay for their loans? Just to give an example, and for people that are not familiar, you know, with the farming sector. So for a farmer that has 75 cows, right, so if they're in that area of the 250 kgs of nitrogen per hectare, they will have to reduce their herd by 15 cows, Greg. Mm. That's an awful lot of money.
Or increase land, which is a problem in itself.
Or increase land. You see, but that is another problem as well. By increasing land, you're squeezing out the smaller dairy farmers, the sheep farmers, the beef farmers, tillage and vegetable farmers, because, you know, we can't compete with the prices that the dairy farmers will have to pay. So really what's happening here, they're decimating rural Ireland. And to be quite honest with you, Greg, this culling of the cows and slaughtering these cows is not going to help water quality at all. And scientists have said this to me from Tagusk. What's going to happen here is the neighbouring bigger dairy farmer will come in, rent the land off the smaller farmer, and the same amount of cows are going to be on that land as what the previous farmer had.
It consolidates it to the big guys, really.
And that's what it is.
That's what people I've spoken to have said. But
But sorry, just Greg, on that point there, sorry, down here in West Cork, you know, we're the biggest county here in Cork with dairy yes. cattle. So to give you an idea, here in Timoleague, they're working with Tagus, and there's a program called the Tagus Agricultural Catchment Program. And what they're doing here, they're monitoring the water quality here for the last 12 years. And the purpose of this is to investigate the impact of agriculture and water quality in this area and other areas. So, you know, the water quality readings are taken every 10 minutes with this program, whereas I think the EPA only does it once, twice a year. So what it is showing down here in West Cork in this river, Timoleague River catchment area, that the nitrate levels have dropped to its lowest since 2010, Greg, despite the rise in dairy stock numbers. So this is proving that it can be done. We weren't given enough time. Again, the minister didn't fight for more time. You know, he didn't go over there. He didn't fight his case. You know, we just feel very let down by him.
And I've heard the argument that there was no reward for those efforts. So what would motivate people to make even greater effort going forward? The one thing I haven't got my head around in all of this, whether you argue one way or other, is the time frame that farmers were given just effectively 3 months. Notice. Now, that to me is pretty remarkable. How did we get to a point where we got so close to the cliff edge only 3 months really effectively has been given to farmers to either cull the cows or acquire more land? It seems an incredibly tiny little window, especially given, you know, the importance of the agricultural community and how important they clearly were for everyone during the lockdowns and what have you.
Absolutely, Greg. Like, you know, farmers really are the backbone of this country. No matter how people are trying to put us down, the government are trying to put us down, this is another problem. There's so much misinformation put towards us, the farmers. We're blamed for everything when it comes to climate change. This is wrong. It needs to change. We need to educate the urban and let them know that it's not all our fault. We need to come together and bridge that gap. You know, farmers, we've over 167,000 people in employment here in this country. Look at the knock-on effect this will have. Like, they got rid of our beef industry back in 2006. They got rid of our horticulture industry. They're trying to get rid of our beef industry for years now, this government. And now they're focusing on the dairy industry.
How does it make you feel as a farmer fighting these battles when I was watching with interest the news over the last week or so about the importance of airports, you know, expanding Shannon Airport. There's a massive investment into it to accommodate more traffic, increased capacity at Dublin Airport. Because the reason I mention this is because we've just been talking about the controversy of whether or not Eamon Ryan would fly back from Dubai and back out again. Mm. He's not doing that now. But anyway, how does it feel as a farmer, the finger being pointed at you all the time, where we see another area of heavy pollutants that doesn't really create anything except, you know, revenue, of course, through tourism and what have you, and we have to get about the place. But does that feel like a kick in the teeth?
Very much so, Greg. We are very angry. I'm very angry as a farmer, and I've listened to a lot of farmers over the last number of years, and they're very angry and frustrated that we are being blamed for absolutely everything. Only the fact that it is true would be a joke. I mean, exactly. We have our Minister for the Environment that just flew back from Dubai, from COP28. He was going to go back over again to there after coming back here to give, his vote on the vote of no confidence in our minister, Justice Minister. That has now been changed. But it's ridiculous. All these people are flying around. They want to increase, Leo Varadkar recently announced that he wants to increase our passenger capacity from 32 million to up over 40 million. Dublin Airport alone, not Cork or any other, Shannon or any other airport alone. You know, this is a huge kick in the teeth. So here they are. They want to reduce our national herd and increase flights. So it would look to me, Greg, that flights are much more important than food. It's galling, really. And just to give you an idea, to increase the flights capacity to up to 40 million or over, that's a 25% increase in airport emissions. So therefore, you know, that would be equivalent to 45,000 dairy cows extra coming in, with that extra. So it's wrong. It's very wrong, very galling. The one thing here that's not being mentioned at all, Greg, and all of this water quality, it's very wrong. And again, they're pointing the finger at the farmer the whole time. Raw sewage. There's 7.5 million litres of raw sewage going to our water courses on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, when this conversation started, and albeit relatively recently, though, and all farmers have been dealing with this for a long time, I was just curious of a breakdown of what actually is damaging the water in terms of, you know, sewage, raw sewage being pumped by the state into to our rivers and what have you, other types of pollution, and how much of it actually is farming pollution. Because to make such a big decision like this, I think you'd need very clear science to say, actually, it's the farmers that are doing this, and it's the farmers that need
to want to give you an example, and I'm no scientist, Greg, and, you know, this is the problem here. Again, the farmer's being blamed for straight away, and we're being scapegoated, and it's wrong. I'm living down here in West Cork, and I'm surrounded by dairy farmers. We had a farm walk here not so long ago. A dairy farmer had a farm walk, and they went down to the river, and they sampled the water quality below in the river. That man is from Tagus, a governmental body. He was quite surprised. He came across an insect that hasn't been found for years below in this river. And the only reason that insect was there, Greg, is because our water conditions is pristine. And I am surrounded by big dairy farmers around me here. So that is telling me it is not the farmer's fault. Come further into the towns, there's lots of problems, not just in our town here, but in other towns. There's over 40 locations around Ireland where raw sewage is entering our water courses on a daily basis. So that would tell me, and I am no rocket scientist by no means, that the problems are coming in from the raw sewage, not from the agriculture sector. And again, we have to bear in mind as well, you know, Greg, in the last year and a half, there has been over 150,000 extra people come into this country. These people are also adding to the already under pressure sewage system that we had. And Ireland's wastewater systems are not meeting the EU standards. So this problem hasn't been addressed.
Okay, that's your views. Thank you very much indeed, Helen. That's Helen O'Sullivan, a farmer herself and spokesperson too for the Farmers Alliance. They're calling for the immediate resignation of the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Mr. Charlie McConnell-Logue, who's been invited on to have a chat about that or to provide us with a statement. And we'll see how that goes. But that's their calls anyway, and the reasons outlined there from Helen. You're very welcome back to the programme. More of your comments coming in their hundreds, quite literally, by the way. So thank you so much for that. A caller says it's our government which is causing this mess, not the ordinary people. That's what they believe. Why is Eamon Ryan scared off when the government needs him back to vote for a minister and her party who cuts the Garda force, says another. Greg, Fury, as COP28 head, questioned science of cutting fossil fuels, plus his company made $5 trillion in profits in 2022. They are on the pig's back, aren't they? So we're going to blame Sinn Féin for Eamon Ryan having to fly home. Everything is the opposition's fault. The government is great and faultless. This is comedy gold. Well, I countered that argument, of course, I think, during the course of that conversation for the interests of balance. It's our government. Oh, I just read that one. Was it not suggested there recently, I can't remember her name, that only the rich can fly? Everyone on the planet, given credit, and the poor, who will likely never travel anywhere, can sell them off to the rich. FFS. People, we have to start paying attention to what they are saying at all these events. They're blaming, they are telling us all, and no one is listening. Sometimes I watch these conferences and I have to laugh at their suggestions, but I realise they are serious and we are doomed. Good morning, Greg. So your argument is that we will have migration because of climate change. Their family will die. They'll have to move. If that's the case, why haven't we seen most of Africa move to Europe over the centuries with all famines and wars they have handled? They did not care about their families then. Well, we have seen, it's not just in Ireland, you know, there is much, an awful lot of emigration that has happened over the years. If you just have a wee look, it's on the internet, most of it. But you have to also understand that not everyone can just up sticks and leave to a different continent either. But there comes a point where it will happen, and it is happening. But I mean, just think about it. Put yourself in the position of some of the families that you've referenced there over the years, how they might even dream of leaving where they are to go somewhere else. Complaining about air flights while the Israelis are blowing the hell out of Gaza, causing huge infernos, many of them giving off toxic fumes, along with jets being used to deliver death. The reality is these governments shook the hell out of the world over 40 years testing A-bombs, and now they're blaming you and me, or the cows in the field. Okay, an awful lot of bombs going off in Ukraine as well still. Okay, more on that to follow, of course, because we're very busy on the lines. Now, time for Sergeant Paul Wallace, who's a Divisional Crime Prevention Officer, and some specific advice for businesses and those shopping in businesses in the run-up to Christmas. We're really in the throes of it now. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Greg.
Right, shall we start with some warnings for businesses? Because, you know, they can be big targets of crime and fraud. What would your key advice be to businesses in this Christmas period?
Yeah, as you say, it's timely now and run up to Christmas. And, you know, what we're basically saying to the businesses just to protect their sales and revenues by identifying the risks, taking the proper steps, making sure that they've discussed it with their office staff in relation to the purchase and the sale of items, protecting personal data, all of that sort of thing. So, you know, like using accredited money transfer platforms such as PayPal and that is recommended as well, and have the protections in place.
Invoice fraud's kind of, I think, what you're referencing there as well. We've seen some big cases in this county, and with everyone being really busy and what have you, it can be quite easy to drop the ball. The scammers are very sophisticated, aren't they, Paul?
Well, they're very sophisticated, and they're working within Ireland and out abroad, and they're basically organised criminal gangs. No more than when you mention organised criminal gangs, you might think about the drugs trade and the illicit trade and that, but they also operate in this on across the platforms using the email, using the web, using the dark web. And in for example, in 2022, there was over 11 million stolen from companies in Ireland. Now we're looking at a 23% decrease to date, with around 7 million reported stolen. And I suppose the important things is, if you think there's something wrong, straight away let somebody know, report it to the Garda Síochána, because if we don't get the reports, we don't know what's happening, and there are steps that can be taken. The business email comprise, the BEC as they call it, has decreased as well. And we're probably getting, as opposed to more than interviews like this, it's getting the awareness out there, getting people to just slow down when an email comes in looking for money, or when they're making a purchase, making sure they're using the proper platforms, ensuring that the data transfer is secure, you know, checking sellers' reviews and ratings, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Just then, from a consumer's perspective, and I'll start on social media, if you don't mind, Paul, because every fourth advert on platforms like X and also Instagram and Facebook is, a drop shop outlet or some sort of a business offering it could be a gadget or a device or a service. You know, and just because they're hosted by a platform, I could take an ad out on any of those platforms and advertise absolutely anything. There's no checks or balances at their end. I think we really need to be careful, especially with the level of social media use that we have, not just this country, but around the world, that we're really careful of those ads that can appear in your timeline and can seem legit, but you may never get a product at all. And I really would not like to be giving my bank details to these people.
Well, exactly, and you see, when you look at sales that pop up across social media, as you've outlined there, that you're not going looking for the product is actually coming looking for you, because the algorithms will take people or take companies into your space, and it'll, I suppose, target you, for want of a better word, in that you're looking for a particular item. You might have been looking it up on the web, and the next thing, it appears on a social media platform, not from any established retail outlet, not that you know, and then they want you to do the money transfer. They don't want you to go through the money transfer platforms. They want you to do it directly, and you probably will never ever see the product that you purchased, but they have your information, they have your name, your address, all your financial details and all of that. So, like, you're leaving your identity with them as such. Yeah. And when you look, probably there's probably no website payment security on it, you know. And like, if you're getting involved in a transaction, you're sending your card details by email or text or some other messaging method, you're leaving yourself open to what they call phishing and smishing, which is in essence social engineering. It's obtaining of your personal details, your name, address, your date of birth, PPS, or whatever, to create false IDs or whatever. You know, we've talked about this repeatedly, Greg, different times. But, like, it's basically at the end of the day, your local high street retailer will probably have the product, and you can go in and you can look at it and examine it, mm-hmm. and they'll value your custom.
And I'm a big fan of shopping local, but also some people might shop online. There are companies, the likes of Amazon, that their reputation is incredibly important to them, and they often, or for the most part, will have the safety checks in place to ensure that you're hopefully dealing with a legitimate supplier and you'll get that product, and there is some recourse if you don't. I want a particular mention too to people using PayPal, because there are some protections in terms of buying with a credit card or PayPal, but a big red flag if anyone asks you to pay by PayPal, if they ask you to tick for friends and families, because that really is you effectively foregoing the protection that PayPal affords you. So if anyone asks you to say you're paying friends and family, I'd be really cautious of that.
Yeah, you see, you're right there. You talked about Amazon and the different sales platforms and that. They have safeguards built in. It's no more than PayPal. They have safeguards built in, both to protect them and to protect you, to protect the customer. These other things, it's like stepping out of a hallway into another room where they want in. They promise you the sun, moon and the stars. And we all have to shop online. It's part of where we are now and the evolution of all of these things. And, you know, after COVID or during COVID, it was the only way to shop as such at all. And we haven't really stepped away from that either. People just, rather than going to the main street retailers, they just look it up and they do it. But it's important that you use the proper platforms that are there, like Amazon, like PayPal, that sort of thing, and that you're not redirected. And you see, the other thing is when you're using your own device, be it your phone, your tablet, your laptop or whatever, it's very important that your antivirus policies are up to date and that you keep that live, because that's how they exploit the whole situation. And you're loading in your... It's basically you're handing over your bank account to somebody that you don't know.
How do we check a website's payment security? Because that's one of the pieces of advice. But is it very obvious that there is payment security in place?
Yeah, well, you should look around. I suppose the one thing you should do is if you're buying from a supplier, look at the reviews and see, what other people are saying. Now, that's not 100%. That can be false. It can be created to paint a picture as such. But at different times, if you look up on the address bar, you'll see the little padlock there, particularly when you're dealing with a financial transaction. And if that's not there, you have no protection as such.
Mm-hmm. And also, you certainly don't want to be sending your card details, especially the three digits. But you don't have to have the three digits sometimes. But you certainly don't want to be sending your card details via email, text, or any other platform, for an example. That would be bad.
No, you shouldn't do that. And, as we've said repeatedly there, the platforms are there. The money transfer platforms are there, such as the PayPal of this world and all of that. And they, like, if you have a disputed transaction, I suppose that's what I want to get to, they will investigate that on your behalf in an effort to get the money back. But if you haven't got that protection, it's the same as if you're using, for example, eBay, an auction on eBay, and then you don't win the item or whatever, and the person then contacts you remotely by using your email address or whatever details you've put in, your protection is then gone because you've stepped out of the auction site. Exactly. And it's the same with that. And
emphasize enough, don't click for friends and family if you're purchasing a product or a service on PayPal, because you forego that protection. And you'll often say, well, I'll pay the extra €2. And they'll go, nope, just click friends and families. Because then you are stepping out back into the hallway, even though you're shopping.
You're back into the hallway then again. It's just about thinking twice before purchasing. Just, looking for the trusted sources, looking for the feedback, that sort of thing. Okay. How are they doing? And it's just the time of year that we're at. And it's the same with the businesses as well. It's important that they don't get caught with what's called the CEO fraud, where an email comes in, supposed to be from a reputed source. And the ideal thing is that one single person can't make a transaction without checking with somebody else within the company.
Yeah.
And it's, if you look at the address bar and look at the document that comes in, most times you'll see some discrepancy in it. And it's easy to put that down to a spelling mistake or whatever, but it's not. It's just, it's false, and it's there for a reason.
Good advice.
It's there for a reason to dupe you.
Okay.
All right.
Twice, measure once, think twice, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Sergeant Paul Wallace, Divisional Crime Prevention Officer, thank you for your tips. Now, just a quick reminder of our competition. Thanks to our friends at Cadbury, we are asking you to share with us why you want to secretly send chocolate to someone special this year. What makes them deserving of a Cadbury Secret Santa bar? Tell us about a person in your life who deserves this surprise treat. But be sure to keep it a secret. We will. WhatsApp or text your reason, but don't reveal it to who it is. Just let us know why they deserve it. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note as well, by the way, if that's easier for you, to 08660 25000. Now, your prize for nominating is you'll be entered in our draw for a beautiful Cadbury hamper. And the person you nominate then will receive a beautiful Cadbury Secret Santa bar. So there's something in it for you as well. Text or WhatsApp 08660 25000. And if you want a voice note, you can do that too on WhatsApp, 08660 25000. Okay, let's have a look at some more of your comments here. Hi, Greg. Derry Real Road, very bad. Not a bit of grit. Can you please highlight this? Thank you. And that came in the last 20 minutes. So the Derry Real Road still not feeling safe. I have land and recently discovered that another farmer was using it without my permission. He was using my land and claiming subsidies on it. When I called the Department of Agriculture to ask if anyone was claiming on my land, they wouldn't tell me. This is an issue because as families and single farmers die, these ruthless farmers are then claiming ownership of the land. Something needs to be done to change this. What a pickle. Okay. On smokeless coal, my daughter couldn't sit in the room when burning smokeless coal. She'd be coughing. The minute she put out the ashes, she'd be coughing and spluttering again. So it's not just an earlier caller who gets breathless when emptying the smokeless coal ashes. We do sort of, when you have an open fire, I don't think we always often consider how much of what is burnt off comes into the room as well. Talking about ashes, the new smokeless coal have far too many ashes, twice the amount as the ordinary coal we used to use. Greg, if you could just ask this question on the radio, just wondering if you are on basic supplementary welfare, are you entitled to a Christmas bonus? If not, how are people able to do any Christmas shopping? People are really struggling, and these foreign nationals come in and get everything. It's so unfair, we're the ones suffering. If you are on basic supplementary welfare, are you entitled to a Christmas bonus? Someone out there is bound to know. A caller says, I'd like to know who declares what is disinformation. A ministry for truth ran by whom? Who decides what the truth is? It follow the science, it's settled, decided on. Didn't we hear that for 2 years? When, as we always knew, the science is never settled. Never static, always evolving. The kind of new language keeps people from thinking for themselves and just accepting what they're told, who they can listen to, who they can support. Communism is growing strong and people don't even know it. Is that a reference to the climate situation? It is. There seems to be, you know, in the world of scientists, a broad consensus on the situation, though I can understand why people may want to resist. How are they going to slaughter 200,000 cows? This is impossible. It cannot be done. This is fake news. But if you are obliged to, by January the 1st, reduce your herd, how do you do it? What you tie balloons to the cattle and hope they fly off? They're going to have to do something because they'll be breaking the rules if they don't.